Whoa. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Can you do me a favor? Help me out. Can you turn to the person next to you? Just give them a wave. Give them a nod. Say good morning. We're glad you chose a great morning to come to church. It is going to be so powerful. It's going to be an amazing morning. Look, real quick, I got three announcements for you. First off, not next Sunday. December 19th, we're doing our Christmas service Christmas service on Sunday. I don't know what I was trying to say there. Look, it's going to be awesome. We got a petting zoo. We're going to have all the fun stuff. We're going to have a theater production. And for the first time ever, listen to this. We're doing pictures with Santa out in the foyer. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be sick, okay? So invite your friends, invite your family. Also, Christmas Eve, you got to invite people. Look, people will love to come to church for any reason on Christmas. Just say, hey, church is open on Christmas Eve. They'll come. It's a great time to get them in the house of God. Number two, next Sunday, this is really important. Next Sunday, Toys for Tots. What is that? We're collecting a bunch of toys to give out to kids in need. So next Sunday, bring a toy. We're going to put them on the altar. It's going to be powerful. We're going to pray over them. We're going to believe that the toys, that as they go to the houses, that those kids are going to be filled with so much joy. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be so great. And then lastly, tonight, I'm a little biased, but this is one of my favorite ministries, Awaken. That is the ministry that me and my wife, Pastor Noel, we run. Look, tonight is Awaken at 6 o'clock. We're doing a Christmas party. We're doing waffles, ages 18 to 30-ish. We understand, hey, if you're 45, you're not 30-ish. No offense. But look, it's going to be a blast. We're doing worship. The word is going to be powerful. I truly believe that the Lord has really given me something that you need to know for this season going into the new year. So look, would you help me welcome our senior leader, Pastor Rhonda?
Hello, awesome. Pastor Spencer is in Ithaca this morning preaching because, yes, Pastor Chad and Jay did get stuck in South Africa, but they are ready to come home and they have a flight, so all is well. They'll be home. Pastor Spencer is in Ithaca, and I'll be preaching the service for you here today. So I'm very excited to share a message on faith. So let's just pray. Father, we love you so much. You are such an awesome and amazing God. We owe everything to you, Jesus. Without you, we are nothing. But with you, there is nothing that is impossible. So this morning, we lift up all of our praise. We put everything aside. We lay everything down, Lord, just to worship you. We love and adore you. So we are going to lift up our praise and put everything aside to allow you to change everything, Jesus. Let your power and your anointing just flood every heart and mind in this place and change everything. You make everything good, God, better than it was before. And we thank you for it in your precious name. Amen. Let's praise.
Excellent, magnificent, omnipotent. Jesus is giving and living and loving. And there is no other name that is greater than no other name.
No other name that is greater than Jesus. Jesus the same yesterday.
Save today, today, and forevermore. you, Jesus.
And bid the empty soul be filled. Now sing it like you believe it. Say, in Him is everything. Thank you, Father God.
Voices will worship you. Come on, will you lift your hands in this place? This isn't just it's not a Christmas song. This is a glory and honor to God song. Sometimes we get mixed up in tradition. Sometimes we get mixed up in what we do.
But I want nothing to do with just showing up at church. I want to meet with Jesus. And I know where God is honored, God shows up. I know where God is celebrated, God shows up. You know, Scripture teaches us this, that His presence is everywhere in Habakkuk chapter 2. But it's an awareness of His presence that lets us actually enter it. You know, God couldn't be any more here than He always has been right in this moment. The difference is our awareness of God here right now. And if we're just a Christmas song because it's December, then our awareness is out the door. But when we realize that I give Him all the glory, that I give Him all the honor, that He deserves this, things start to shift and change, because our awareness it goes to another level, that He's here and He's now and He's moving and He's loving and He's active on your behalf and my behalf. Can we sing that just one more time, but not with a Christmas tradition? I'm doing a carol. We're not caroling right now. We're giving God honor. We're giving God glory. Can you lift your hands? And can you just, with awareness that God is here, can you give Him the glory, the honor, the worship that He deserves for the next couple minutes?
Thank you, Jesus. The Lord will worship you, and we'll worship you forever.
Come on, from the back to the front,
we'll
declare that.
Worship you.
Thank you, Jesus. Get myself in trouble this morning. I feel the presence of God in this room. But Pastor Rhonda's going to be preaching, so I'm just going to get out of the way. But when you think about, man, I'll worship you forever, my goodness. I'll worship Him because He came to destroy the works of the devil. I'll worship Him because He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'll worship Him because He's a healer, because He's a Savior, because He releases people from bondage and addiction. We got a reason to worship in this room, and it's more than tradition. It's reality. It's more than what our dad or our grandma experienced. It's what we've experienced. Thank you, Jesus. Man, we're not going to do meet and greet this morning. I'm going to have you guys go right to your seat. And you're like, well, worship is about to go up. Look, that's awesome. That means your heart's prepared for what God's going to do in the sermon. This is the goal, is that our hearts are prepared for what God wants to speak to us so we can respond. So you guys can go ahead and grab your seats. It was funny last night. I went to Target and realized that nobody was there, because all the normal people that frequent Target were at Sparkle. It's like, dang, this looks weird. But I'm happy you made it to church today. We love you guys. And we're going to go into our normal time of tithes and offerings. And I think that people make money such a weird topic. And there's no reason to make money a weird topic. It's what many people's life revolves around. Jesus spoke of money often. He spoke of money more than he spoke of hell. And I think that it's important that as the church, we have a healthy relationship with finances. I think your life should be blessed. Apparently you don't. I think your life should be blessed. You serve a great God. You serve a great God who wants to bless you. And your life should be blessed. And our life reflects, ready, here's the not fun part, the level of our obedience. Look, I was reading in the book of Joshua and in the book of Judges, where they're entering into the promised land that God had stored up for them, that God had prepared for them. And you got to remember that they had spent 40 years getting ready to enter in the promise and the blessing that God had. And this promise and this blessing was amazing. When they checked it out, they said, the grapes are so big, we got to carry two of them. The cities are great. Surely it flows with milk and honey. And what's so interesting about the promised land is when they got to the promised land, it later in the book of Joshua and early in the book of Judges, is that they got to it, but they didn't always fully possess it. They got to what God promised, but they didn't get all of what God promised. And it's not because God withheld it. It's because they failed to walk fully in what God asked them to do. And I would just wonder what God fully has for us when we step fully in obedience to Him. Not a little bit of obedience, because a little bit of obedience will get you a little bit of an escape. A little bit of obedience will get you a little bit of the promise. But how many of us as parents, how many of us who've blessed other people, have wanted those people or our children to fully walk into what we gave them? And to think, if we want that for our children, what would God want for His children? He'd want them to have everything that he gave for them. Every single bit of it. And God's people in Joshua and Judges, they had some of it, but not all of it. And it wasn't because God withheld it. It's because they just partially walked in obedience. And when we get to money, we get weird. We get funny about it. Let me ask you this, though. If we can trust God with our eternity, if we can trust Him with healing, if we can trust Him to restore marriages, if we can trust Him to change nations, if we can trust Him with all these things, don't you think maybe we could trust Him with our money? Because He's not out to take, He's out to make sure that He can continue to bless us with more. What does the tithe do for you? If you're not used to a church like this, if you have never heard of the tithe, a tithe is 10%. And we find the tithe before the law with Abraham. We find it in the law. And we find Jesus and the apostles confirming tithing for us, which is taking 10% of what we've earned and blessing God with it or returning it to God. And I want all of what God has, and God wants all of what He's asked for. But what's the blessing for you? What does the tithe do for you? Real quick, I have a couple things. Number one, it shows honor to God. You know, we're coming up on Christmas. How many people have gone way over their Christmas budget already because they want to honor and show the people close to them that they love them by what they've given them? Isn't it funny that we're willing to spend all this money to show people that we love them, but when it comes to showing God that we love them, we're like, no, I'll show them with my time. Just a thought. You know, what does tithing do? It allows that you could have the blessing of obedience. You know, you're blessed for being obedient. When we obey God, we get all of what God has for us. What does tithing do? It lets God trust us to give us more. There's a parable, and it shows that if you can be trusted with little, you can be trusted with more. You know, I let my daughter start putting her own things in the toaster because I could trust her with that. And now she's cooking her own eggs. Why? Because she showed she could be trusted with little things. Money's not a big thing to God. It's a little thing to God. I think that tithing, according to Scripture, lets us see God's plans for what's next. You can be one step ahead of everything financially. I think tithing puts us in a spot where God starts to yell at whatever would come against us going forward. Scripture calls it rebuking the devourer, but you read that and be like, bro, that really doesn't make any sense. That's pretty weird. That doesn't, you know, we're in 2021. This isn't, who's the devourer? What is rebuking? When we give and we walk in obedience to God, you know, when that furnace was going to go out, it has God putting us in a position to know to get it checked out. And that small $5 piece only cost you $5 instead of $5,000 to replace it. You know, the boss that was planning to fire you, they lose their job before you lose yours because you're in a place of obedience. God will work on your behalf. And I think tithing is one of the smartest things we could do in terms of our financial success. You're like, well, that doesn't make sense. Go backwards 10%? No, no. It's going forward all the way because it's obeying God 100%. And when we obey God 100%, we get all of what He promised us. He even said, test me. Test Him in this thing and see if He's a liar or see if He's truthful. And I guarantee you'll find out that God's not a liar like other people in your life, but He's truthful every single time. Amen? What we do here is a little bit different, and I forgot an envelope. We're out of these ones? I don't think we're out of these ones. Brother Ken's awesome. But here, real quick, we have envelopes to make it easy. There's, you can give plenty of ways. There's options right here. Text to give, you can go online. Or there's an envelope in the back of your chair. If this is the only envelope in the back of your chair, just, she said, cross it off and write tithe. Or just cross it off and leave it as an offering. But it's really easy. 10% to honor God. And God honors you 100%. That sounds like a fair deal to me. Amen? If you've never given, I want to challenge you to take the step. If you're looking at your finances saying, well, it's really tight, honor God and He'll honor you every single time. Amen? Amen. Can you stand to your feet as we prepare to give our tithe and offering? Because we do it a little different here. We don't come around with a bucket. We're not going to shake you down. You have the opportunity to come up front. And then also, on the table, we have something new. I want to encourage everybody to come and grab one of these things, one of these sheets up at the front, and we'll talk about it in just a minute. But we have a supernatural declaration that we say here. And this morning, Sarah is going to share it with us and lead us in the supernatural declaration because she's amazing. Will you go ahead and declare this with us?
I will. All right, if I obey, I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. So I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on, say it like you mean it. I'm blessed. All right, come on.
You can come and give your tithes and offerings. Make sure you grab one of these sheets as well. If you don't have an offering, you can still come and grab one of these. Grab a couple extras for those near you. Awesome. Well, look, before we give this service to Pastor Rhonda, we do have something new that we're going to be on consistently. And it's funny because you've probably seen this narrative lately of stop shoving your Christianity down my throat. And it's wild because it is my Christianity to tell you about my Christianity. It is my religion to tell you about my religion. It's the Great Commission. It's literally one of the major two things that Jesus left us with. The first was to love God and love others. And the second was to tell everybody about Him. It is our religion. If you're a Christian, will you shout, I am?
I am.
If you're a Christian, it's your religion to tell other people about your Jesus and what He's done for your life. And the greatest thing the church can do is not wait for the pastor to go and tell the whole county about Jesus, but is for the church to tell people about Jesus. You know, I can't walk into your workplace and start shouting about Jesus. Well, I can. I'm probably going to get escorted out. But you certainly can tell others about the Jesus that you serve. And what we're doing, especially right now in the holiday season, most people come to church when they're invited. Most people don't normally just randomly walk up to a building. It happens because they see the change in your life. It happens because you've invited them. It happens because you've represented a Jesus that's worth following. And what we're starting and what we're doing is we're just calling it My Top Five. And if you don't have one, you can throw your hand up and we'll try to get you one in a second. But My Top Five is meant, who are the five people during this holiday season that you're going to pray for and invite to church? Who are you going to share the gospel with? Who are you going to get to come and sit with you on a Sunday? On the 19th is our Christmas production. That's a great day for somebody to show up. The 12th, next Sunday, a great day for somebody to show up. But here's what we're going to do for the next 30 seconds, 20 seconds. Will you just go ahead, and maybe you don't have a pen, you can write it in your phone. Will you write down your top five of who you're going to pray for this week? Who are you going to pray for opportunities to share the gospel with this week? Pray for who you're going to invite on a Sunday morning to come and meet with Jesus as we meet together. Go ahead and just take a couple seconds. Maybe you're going to put it in your notes on your phone. You can write it right here on the sheet. But I want to pray for those people. And then we'll pass this service off for Pastor Rhonda. But as the church together, you know, when we're mobilized to do something, it changes everything. When we're just coming and attending, it gets boring. But when we're mobilized to do what the gospel tells us to do, when we're causing holy disruptions in our workplaces, in our friend groups, in our families, when we're causing on purpose and being intentional with sharing the gospel, lives start to change around us. Amen. Amen. Let's do this. Go ahead and just put your hand on the piece of paper. Go ahead and put your hand on your phone. And let's pray together for these five people that they would come to know the salvation that you know. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray even right now for every single name that's been written down. Lord, I pray that you'd soften their heart by your Holy Spirit. We know the Holy Spirit draws men under repentance. I pray that you'd start to work on them even right now. I pray that we would be intentional about our conversations. That, Father, we'd be intentional with how we talk to them, when we talk to them, what we talk to them about. Give us opportunities to share your love. Give us opportunities to share your truth. That, Father, they would come to know salvation. They would come to find freedom in your name. They would find healing. That, Lord, whatever their situation is right now, that you would turn it around, that their life would reflect heaven and salvation, that this county would look different, that our friend groups would look different, that our workplaces would be changed by the power of the gospel that saved us. Lord, whether they be seemingly close to you or miles and miles away from you, Lord, I pray that the power of the gospel would change their heart and their life, that eternity would be their final destination, and that freedom would be their reality here on earth. In the name of Jesus, come on, if you're going to commit that to the Lord, if you're going to pray for them and share with them and invite them, can I hear a mighty amen in this room? Amen. Amen. Will you welcome Pastor Rhonda Spencer to the pulpit this morning as she comes to share the gospel of Jesus with you? Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Sit down. Let's give Jesus the biggest applause. He is awesome. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So if I could title the message today, which I don't often do, I would title this one, Offend My Faith. Offend my faith. This is just what I've learned, a whole new level in my faith walk with God, and I want to share the things that I've been learning with all of you through sharing the testimony, the miracle testimony that God has done in my life. And so about 4 weeks ago, a month ago, I had been in the hospital for an entire week, battling for life. I had kidney blockages and bowel blockages, and it was pretty treacherous. And you know, I'm a faith person, like declaring the word of God, listening to healing scriptures and all of that all the time, declaring healed, whole, victorious, get up, dress up, show up. Well, again, I was in a place where I physically could not do it. Spiritually and mentally, I've got this. I will live and not die. I will live and not die. But being in the hospital for a week and hearing them constantly tell you they're sorry, there's nothing they can do. They're sorry, there's nothing they can do. So on the Friday night, my oncologist came through after all of his rounds and saw me. And again, he said, I'm sorry. There's nothing more that we can do. The only thing we can do at this point is comfort care and palliative care. And so I looked at him and I said, I'm checking out of this hospital and I will live and not die. So Saturday, I checked out of the hospital. No changes at all. But I was determined to live and not die and shut off those voices. Sunday morning, I wasn't going to miss church for anything. Listen, I could barely move. I could barely get myself together. But why is it when we get in that position that we stay home. Like, the thing I needed more than anything in the world, and the enemy would love to keep you. Like, I could have easily stayed home. I had every excuse. I had every right. I could have just stayed home. And I chose to be in the presence of God. And so I got up, dressed up, and showed up. And it was when Chris Estrada was here. It was quite incredible. This started Saturday night. So Saturday night, I was so sick and so weak. I didn't know, seriously, if my physical body was going to make it through the night. And don't get mad because you didn't know all this stuff. I didn't even tell my husband. He was downstairs sleeping, okay? Because I try to make sure the words coming out of my mouth are life and not death. So I didn't want to speak those words out of my mouth at all. So I put on Charles Capp's Confessions. I had never put them on before, and it was amazing. It was Confessions of Healing, where he was talking to his body and his body parts. My cells are healthy. My blood is healthy. No tumors or growth can live in my body. They have to go because I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. It's God that resides in me. So these confessions, I played them, and it went through, and then it jumps to whatever next video, and it was Bill Winston. And Bill Winston, I can't find this video anymore, but it was Bill Winston talking to the screen. But he said, "I'm going to offend your faith today." And I said, "Good. Please offend my faith. I need you to offend my faith right now because it's not working. And I need you to offend my faith." And then the next word out of his mouth was, "Anything that is not the word of God is not faith." Anything that is not the word of God is not faith. I'm like, okay, yep, offended my faith. And then the next thing that he said was, it has nothing to do with God. God's already done everything he needs to do. You were healed. This has nothing to do with God and everything to do with you. Your faith, your words, what you speak, what you say out of your mouth. It's not, and listen, we've all heard it. Oh, it's in God's timing. No, God's timing, it was taken care of on the cross. It was paid for 2,000 years ago. So it's not, we're not waiting on God to do something. He's waiting on us. If we don't do anything, he can't do anything. The Bible is not automatic. And we can see this. It's not automatic. It doesn't happen for everybody. And that's where we get it wrong, is we think it's just automatic just because it's there. It's not. It's whether we apply it or we use it or we speak it or we're obedient to it or not. It has everything to do with that. So, okay, yeah, he successfully offended my faith a couple times. But it was in that moment where I was like, okay, I'm not going to die. I'm not going to die. I'm going to live, and I won't die. So then I came to church. Chris Estrada was here, and he happens to be friends with the Winston family and tried to call Pastor Bill Winston, but he was actually preaching behind the pulpit at the moment. So they connected me to one of his sons who prayed over me, prophesied stuff that he couldn't even know he said exactly. And then he prayed over me and broke the spirit of death off me. And the moment that he broke that spirit of death, it just started to change. It wasn't an immediate, everything's perfect, but it started, I got hungry. I hadn't eaten in almost 2 weeks at that point. I couldn't keep anything down. Nothing would stay down. And so I was hungry. I'm like, you got to take me to eat. I need food right now. So if I ran out and didn't say hi to you guys, I'm sorry. I needed food. So I went and ate, and I've been eating ever since. And it's just been so amazing and so awesome to watch God throughout these few weeks recover my body in every area. And I feel better than I did even before I went to the hospital. God has done such incredible, awesome things. But it's not God alone. It's in our hands. So here's some of the nuggets that I've taken away that will probably offend your faith. I hope it does. Because the problem is, we think it's faith. And as long as we're thinking we're walking in faith, when we're not, we're not receiving, and we're frustrated at why things aren't changing and why things aren't happening. So I needed my faith offended. You need your faith offended. If it's not true faith, it's not going to work. It's not going to do anything for us. If we're wishy-washy, up and down, back and forth, it's not going to do anything for us. The Word of God says a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways, and let him not think he'll receive anything. That's what the Bible says. So these aren't in any specific order, but these are the nuggets, the takeaway that I have from the past month of this faith walk. One of the first things I always do is check myself. Always. I don't care how many years you've been a Christian. Please, always check yourself for unforgiveness, offense. Seriously, those are the sneakiest things, because you can justify it and you can rationalize it because you've gone to three other people and they agree with you. But that doesn't agree with the Word of God that says you must forgive, or my Father in heaven will not forgive you. It is so vital that we check ourselves and make sure there's nothing wrong. There's no sin in our life. We think sin is all the big stuff. So make sure there's not, like, gossip, strife. Oh, that little friction thing, strife? No, the Word of God says in James, where there is strife, every evil thing is present. I mean, we're thinking the big things. When you get to the place where I was at, and it's life and death, you need to start looking at the small things. Strife, slander, your table at your house, your living room, your hangout with your friends. Is it slander? Are you tearing somebody apart, tearing somebody down, having those kind of conversations? I could just preach all day on that one right there. But that's not where we're going, so I'll let that just sit. Here's another one, lack of tithing. Oh, come on. You know, we talk about the blessings and how great it is, but not tithing is a sin. Jesus himself, you tithe, this you ought to do. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse. It's just his, this is his word. His Bible, and we've been disputing it. And when we are in that position, we can't think we're walking in faith, because sin separates us from God. It's also what his word says. Hidden sins, bitterness, on and on. So that's the first thing that I do. One of the things Brother Ted had called me months ago on was, he said, okay, you're not allowed to get angry about anything. I'm like, cool, awesome. I like, that's an easy area. I don't get angry about anything. Like, I've worked on this offense thing and forgiveness and all that kind of stuff. And so this will be easy for me. Oh my goodness, I'm gonna give you guys this challenge too. You try it. You're not allowed to get angry about anything, because anger turns into sin, because then we start stewing on it, thinking on things we're not supposed to think on, because the Word of God tells us what to think on. So you try this too. Do not get angry about anything. You're just not supposed to. I know you can justify it by righteous anger. No, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Don't get angry about anything. The moment you feel anger come up, you just got to let that thing go. You got to think of something positive. I know they wronged you. I know it really happened. But is it worth your salvation? Is it worth your soul? Absolutely not. Don't let them further damage your life than what they've already done. Don't pay it any attention at all. 1 Corinthians 13:5 tells us that. Don't pay it any attention at all. All right. And then I already said this point, but this is another one if you're taking notes. God isn't doing anything more. This was just, like, I know that. I've said it. I've preached it. He's not doing anything more than he's already done. Your result is in your own mouth, your own faith, your own words. You are not waiting on God's timing or for him to do something. If you won't do it, he can't. If you won't do it, he can't. We are responsible for our own choices, our own words, and what we believe. God can't make you do anything. Oh, here's a really hard one. I'm pretty sure this came from a conversation with Brother Ted. If you pray more than once for it, it's doubt and not faith. If you pray more than once for it, it's doubt and not faith. Because if he did it already, if I gave Pastor Palco $50 and it's in her hands, I wouldn't have to say, oh, I need to pay you again. Oh, I need to pay you again. Or she wouldn't be telling me, you better pay me. You owe me that money. I deserve it. No, that's insanity to think I've already paid it. He's already done it. He's already taken our sins. He's already taken our sickness and disease. He's already taken the lack of peace. He's already taken the lack of joy. He took those things all on the cross for us. He's already taken poverty. All those things, he's already taken it for us. If we pray more than once, it's doubt and not faith. Do not think you will receive anything for the Lord, from the Lord. So let me explain this, because that's not enough to just tell us, or at least for me, to just tell me, pray once and then you can't pray again. Like, well, what do I do the next time it comes up? I have the answer for you. And this was like light bulb revelation kind of stuff. After you pray once, now you thank God and you confess and declare what will happen, what will go on, what will transpire. This comes into talking to your body, talking to it, and telling it what it has to do. And this isn't just sickness. This isn't just sickness. This is faith in general. This is for your unsaved family members that you're believing for. This is for your finances. This is for your marriage relationship. This is for your job. Whatever it is, we've got to pray once, and then after you pray, you thank God for it, and you confess and declare what happens. If it's sickness, disease, maiming, or wounding, speak directly to your body. Example, my blood is healthy and flows through my body, giving life. My cells are healthy, and any that are not have to disconnect and dissolve from my body. No tumors or growths can inhabit my body. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Pray once, and then every time it comes up, every time you're feeling that, every time you're going through that, thank you, God, that there are no tumors or growths in my body. Thank you, God, that pain was taken on the cross. Thank you that you already took my pain, my sickness, my sorrow. The word is medicine. This word says it is medicine to your body. It's literal life. In Hebrews 4, it tells us it's life. It's quick and powerful. This word is actual medicine to your body, and we need to take it like medicine. What do you take medicine with? Food. So every time you eat, get the word of God. Like you're taking it like medicine. Say, okay, I'm taking my medicine right now. I'm reading the word as medicine to my body right now. This is quick and powerful. It is active and alive, working in and for you. The word, the word, the word. You've got to get in it so often. So every time you feel a symptom or something come up or you feel pain, don't run for the pain meds. Take your medicine first. Take this first. Now, I'm not saying don't take your medicine. I'm not saying that at all. And I'm not even speaking against doctors. Listen, doctors have done fabulous things. I'm talking about your faith right now. I love this scripture. This was so powerful. My sheep know my voice, and as strangers, they will not follow. So the only voice we follow is the voice of God. These strangers, these doctors, these reports, these bill collectors, whatever it is, that's not the report that I follow. I follow the voice of God. And so that's the word of God is the voice of God. So you don't want to be following the declarations that the doctors are making. It's really happening to you. Yes, I understand. Listen, I can stand up here and tell you this because I understand completely. I've lived this and proven God in this. So we need to make sure we follow the words of God and we're not following other people's words. We're not following their dictates. Every time I've been faithful to just look at the doctor when he tells me, I'm going to send you home to die. I will live and not die. I will live and not die. And then I get excited when I have to FaceTime him for a meeting 3 weeks later. I'm like, I'll live and not die. I will live and not die. Because you will have what you say, think, and meditate on. You will have what you say, think, and meditate on. That's what the Word of God says. And in Proverbs, I tried to write it down, but my pen was without ink up there. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. You'll eat the fruit of whatever it is you choose to plant, whatever words you choose to speak out, whatever words you choose to declare. That's not on God. Too many Christians blame God. It has nothing to do with God, ever. And I can tell you, as a Christian who I think has extreme faith and loves God and is always working on cleaning myself up and living according to the Word of God, you still always need to check yourself. We're responsible. God is not. We are responsible. You will have whatever it's. So if you're declaring, oh, my leg, this is just a bum leg, just a bum leg. No, then that is what you are going to harvest. Yes, I'm healed in Jesus' name. My leg will get better and better. It'll get stronger and stronger. And you know, don't think it's not faith, because when you're in recovery, recovery is lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So it's just going to get better and better and better and better. But we've got to watch the words of our mouth. We're either producing life or death. You're producing with your words life or death. There's two languages. It's a life language or it's a death language. So what is it that you're speaking out of your mouth? And this isn't like a one-time thing, oh, I'm going to do that. No, this is every second of every day, of every moment, because you always constantly are presented with stuff and you have a choice how you're going to face it. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. This is the Bible, the Word of God. Sorry, I need to grab my drink. It is dry up here. So I want to jump back to praying once and declaring the truth. Because what happens is when we're trying to figure it out intellectually, which I've just talked with another person, and they're trying to figure out why this came on them, why it was, and they're investigating all of that in that area. And listen, when you're focused on that, you're not focused on the healing, the miracle. You're trying to figure it out intellectually. You will never figure out spiritual, supernatural things intellectually. It is supernatural. So it may not make sense to you to say, well, my leg is bum. Why wouldn't I say that? Because it's supernatural. It is not natural. And as long as we're trying to figure it out in the natural, we're not going to get what we want. We won't get what we want to see. Thinking on and speaking the word is like stirring water in a cup with a pencil. You know, at first, it's like it's not a spoon, it's a pencil. So it's going to do a little bit. So when you're speaking the word, it's like doing that. But if you continue to do that, guess what happens? It builds momentum, and it starts going in that direction, and things will go in that direction. And even if you take the pencil out for a little bit, it'll still go in that direction. But whatever direction you're pointing to, I'm going to focus on the good stirring. But if you're stirring the negative, it's the same thing. You're building a momentum towards the negative. You're building a momentum to that stuff. So you've got to really, really, really caution on the words of your mouth and the things that you're saying. You will have what you say, think, and meditate on. Next one, bind up the spirits. I think this is an area we lack in a lot too, because Christians can't be possessed. No, a Christian cannot be possessed. But there is an enemy of your soul that is out to steal, kill, and destroy. And if we're oblivious that there's demons that try to work and try to get in your way and try to deter and try to stumble your life, guess what? You're not going to be aware. You're just going to let it run roughshod right over you. And so we need to be aware as Christians that there is an attack on our lives. There is an enemy of us. There are demons. There are spirits of infirmity. There are spirits of death. There are spirits of heaviness, spirits of fear. There are spirits that try to attach to your life, and we've got to cast them out. Luke 10:19, I love it so much. Behold, I have given you authority. Who?
You.
Say me.
Me.
That's who's been given authority. You've been given authority over all the devices of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. You've been given authority. You're the one that's authorized. You have all the power over the devil. He is powerless. He's been disarmed. He's been defeated. The only way he can function in our lives, if we don't stand up in our authority, if we buy into his lies, if we buy into his traps, then we give him the power and the authority to run roughshod over us. So we need to take and bind those spirits that are trying to work in your life. Bind them up. Matthew 16:19. I love this one so much. In the contemporary English version, it says, whatever you allow, God has to allow. Here, let me read the second part of that. Yeah, shocking, right? This is the Bible, the same one we've read for years and years. God will allow whatever you allow, but he will not allow anything you do not allow. So resist the devil and he will flee. So whenever I feel a symptom or I hear something, I resist that. I immediately say, I do not allow that in my life. I cancel that out. I'm binding that up, and it has no place and no right to take seed in my life. So I'm quick to reject anything that tries to come in. That's why when you're thinking about it and rationalizing, trying to come up with reasons, that it's so dangerous, because now you have a reason to believe that it can be on you. So there's no reason why God won't heal you except me, myself, and I. whatever you allow, God has to allow. Ooh, here's a hard one. So I brought this question to Brother Ted. So my spirit man is strong, and I'm standing in faith. I mean, I'm declaring the word of God. I'm believing God. I'm standing in faith. But my physical body isn't matching up to what my spirit is saying. Like, my physical body just wasn't moving forward. And the answer isn't comfortable. It's to keep standing. Just keep standing. Just continue to resist. You cannot base your healing on any symptoms or the way that you feel. I know that those are the loudest things screaming in your ear, the symptoms and the way you feel. It's in your face. It's what you're feeling. But what we feel is not our truth or our reality. We need to base solely on what the Word of God says. If we're waiting to feel different before we believe we've been healed, we're never going to get to healing. Listen to this. Because after you're healed is when you feel the difference. It's after you're healed that you feel that. So if you're waiting to feel it, you're not going to receive it at all. We need to declare the word of God over every symptom, over every feeling, because it's not until you don't even need faith when you feel it. There's not even a necessity for faith any longer, because you feel it and you know you're healed. That's not where the faith lies. The faith lies on this side, when you stand and you stand there for and you keep standing. And I like to say that I kind of changed the channel. What I did that night when I came home is I listened to something I didn't listen to before. I definitely made sure they were super credible. Their life was a life of integrity before I put it on, because there's a lot of craziness out there. But I listened to something different. It was good and it was powerful. Not that the old stuff wasn't. It's absolutely incredible. But I needed to, like, change the channel. I needed to change it to something else and hear something different. And that's what caused me to just have a breakthrough in my life. So if you're waiting to feel it, it just doesn't happen that way. The feeling is after the healing. So declare the truth, and that begins to stir that water. And you keep declaring the truth. I have heard one of the preachers say that they were believing for 7 years for something. 17 years. Listen, don't quit. Don't give up. Keep standing. Why would you quit? You're never going to receive if you quit. Keep standing and keep believing. No matter how long it takes, you keep standing, you keep believing. And then, this is so important, so powerful. We need to start each day with fresh, new, now faith expectancy. Don't carry over the past. Yesterday's doubts, disappointments, it didn't happen the way I wanted it to. 10 years ago, this happened, and then 5 years ago, this happened, and this happened, and yesterday, it happened. When we start our day with all of that stuff, it's like a giant snowball of doubt that has accumulated and is rolling into day after day after day. So I like to start every single day like it's fresh and new, because it is. The Word of God says His mercies are new every single morning. They're brand new. So you have to shut off all the past, all the stuff that didn't, or Susie had this happen, and it didn't work for her, and it won't work for... Well, then if you said it, that's what you're going to have. We've got to take away that accumulated doubt that we're starting each day with. You need to start your day with, I'm Portia. I'm a child of God. I'm loved by God. I'm healed and whole. Period. not I'm Portia, I have this ache, I have this pain, oh, I'm so sad, I have this heaviness, I have anxiety, I have depression, I have these things. We need to start every single day, whatever it is that you're dealing with, fresh and new now faith. Now faith. Faith is believing before you see it. It's not even faith unless you're believing. That's what Hebrews 11:1 says. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the literal definition of faith. But I think it's so easy as Christians. I found myself caught up in those exact same things. I found myself even sometimes begging God. There's zero faith in begging God. Zero faith. I found myself doing it. So I had to change. I had to have my faith offended. And today, I hope I've offended your faith. I hope I have. I've offended it with Scripture, with the Word of God, with the truth from the Word of God. And unless you do it, God can't. Unless you do it, God can't. Yeah, the worship team is leaving to come to the front. Just so you know, we don't have a mass exodus of people. The worship team is just leaving. We're not done with service yet. I don't even know where I was now. If you won't do it, God can't. So today, your results, your destiny, your outcome is in your hands. It's in your hands, nobody else. And you know what? That should get you excited. Because you have the power. He's given you the power to cast out devils. To lay hands on the sick. And if it's you, lay hands on yourself. And they shall recover. It's the things you've been empowered with. But if you're sitting there waiting it for osmosis to happen, it's not going to. You're not a plant. You plants don't have to do anything. They can sit there and osmosis happens. You cannot do that. You have to do something different than what you've been doing. So I pray this has challenged you in areas of your faith. And listen, this is not like a step one, step two, step three, a process. You have to do this and do this and do this and don't do this. Listen, if you get caught up in that, it's also not going to be faith at all. So this is just some tools that you can try in your life. And listen, this isn't like I try it for a day or two. No, if you have to try it for 7 years, keep trying it for 7 years. Whatever you, 17 years. Don't stop believing. Don't stop. The Word of God is always true, and God cannot lie. Listen, I am living proof of it. I don't know if this second year or the third year. I have no idea. But I was told a long time ago I had 2 weeks to live. And here I am, standing before you because of God and appropriating his promises and appropriating his covenant for me. Me choosing to say the right things, to check myself, to watch my words, to guard them, to speak the word of God only. Speak the word of God only. Anything outside of the word of God is not faith. Speak the word only. Speak to your body. Speak to your situation. Speak to your relationships. Speak to your finances. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. You will have what you say. And this is the Bible. And that's faith. That's real faith. So if everybody could just bow their heads and close their eyes. I want to give opportunity if there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus. And you want to get saved and give your life over to him. He's a good God. And every good thing comes from God. Nothing bad comes from God. It's the enemy of our soul, John 10:10 tells us. God is good all the time and never bad. if you want to give your life to this God who has your best interest, if you just bow your heads and close your eyes, I just want you to raise your hand. I'm not going to wait very long. So if you want to give your life to Jesus this morning, just raise your hands up real quickly. Don't miss your opportunity. It's the best decision you'll ever make. Jesus changes everything. Jesus changes everything. 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Awesome. I'm going to believe that you're all saved in here. So let's just take this a little bit further. Prayer team, could I have the prayer team men, as many as we can also? Thank you. Come to the front. If you want prayer for anything, if you've just felt stuck and like your faith isn't working, we're just going to agree with you today. There is power in agreement. Where two or more touch one thing, whoo, it is established. And it says, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. If you're battling any kind of sickness and disease, come forward. Get prayer. Don't just sit there and be, listen, if you won't do it, God can't. Don't just sit and listen to this sermon. You need to now activate. You need to now do it. We cannot be hearers of the word only, but doers also. So if you're in this place and you want prayer for anything, we have the prayer team up here. They're ready with power to pray for you. And I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to remind you of the do not get angry about anything. Let's try that one just for this first week. Well, you don't stop after the first week. It's a continue thing. But I'll give it a small measure for you so it's not as overwhelming. And then I hope you took notes so that you're able to challenge your faith and grow and increase and see the miracle work. I mean, you would not believe the difference in my physical body, my everything from 4 weeks ago, where I could barely move, barely breathe, barely live. And now today, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I have enough energy and strength to preach a sermon. Stand up in God's house. Two sermons. Got another one right after this. God is awesome. He cannot lie. He is a miracle-working God. He's still doing miracles today, and he'll continue to do miracles until his return. So I love you all. Stand to your feet. I'll pray a blessing over you. Make sure you come forward for prayer. Father, I just release a blessing over this house. Your word that's gone forth today, let it take root in every heart and mind. Let our faith go from faith to faith, that it would increase our faith today, Lord. We thank you for it in your precious, awesome name. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Have a blessed week. We'll see you next week. Make sure you fill out your card and you pray over your five people this week. Invite them to church.